deceiver. Christ making himself of no reputation is simply not the same thing as laying aside the free and independent exercise of all of his attributes of as God.
He made himself of no reputation. He purposely, there's a doctrine in theology called the doctrine of the kenosis. And that comes from the Greek word there that's translated, made himself of no reputation. And you'll see translations that say he emptied himself. You cannot empty yourself of who you are. I'm sorry. He can't empty himself of deity. I mean, you can't quit being human, can you? Well, the answer is no. You know, you look at your husband and you scratch your head and say, well, no, he's still human, see. Might be a flawed human, but he's still a human.
Now, the other side of the theological mouth is going to speak. Again, he says something that's right up against being right, right up against being orthodox, that Christ could not empty himself of, but didn't he already twice say that he lay aside all of his deity attributes? So how can you have this confusion? And maybe the better question after all these years is still, why? Why? What was the good brother thinking to make this an issue of choosing up sides within the grace movement, which his people have now done? You may not know, while my wife was yet and still in her hospital bed, and I was trying to keep our assembly afloat here in Ohio, I was teaching on the internet, and someone asked me a question about what do you think about Jesus Christ not knowing the mystery when he was here on this earth. And I said I disagree with it. I never mentioned Pastor Jordan's name, but I said that I disagreed with it in no uncertain terms, and felt that while it was said in the message, we're not teaching kenosis, canonic theology. In fact, that's what it is. Well, that got picked up, most notably by one of Pastor Jordan's friends down in the Smoky Mountains. And by the next day, I was the worst person on the earth. I mean, I had blasphemed the Richard Jordan Holy Ghost, and oh my, I was divisive. I'd never mentioned the fellow's name. I'd never done anything of him in reference to the family conference, but oh, wow. And so then the fellow down in Smoky Mountains, he's teaching the same message as if he'd thought of it, and now it becomes how you choose up sides. Now, part of that is a product, of course, of internet and things going viral, and it didn't take long before I was thrown off teaching Pell Talk. It was in a Berean room by a fellow named Doug Dodd, who's since gone home to be with Christ. And I wonder if the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ didn't have to point a couple things out to dear brother Doug. We'll find out when we get upstairs and see him. Meanwhile, I'm trying to make the point to you that when you hear something that is double-minded, you are listening to something that is unstable in all of its ways. And that is not the person that you want in leadership. That is not the doctrine that you want on the table.
Plus, he married you. He had pretty good judgment at one time in life. Don't look at me, fellas, that was the point you should have said, amen. You know, I should have had a chorus of males saying amen in here this morning, and you're all mighty quiet. Jesus Christ can't give up his deity. He doesn't empty. What he does is he lays aside, willingly, choosingly, he makes the choice to lay aside the independent exercise of his deity in order to become a man.
Now, where do we go with this? Jesus Christ can't give up his deity. We all say, amen, brother. See, Pastor Jordan knows that Christ is deity. Okay, he doesn't empty. What he does is he lays aside. Well, you play with the semantics all you care to. You can call it empty. You can call it backing up the pickup truck and dumping it in the backyard. You can say whatever you want to about it. It's not there anymore. He lays aside willingly, choosingly. Is that a word? He makes the choice to lay aside the independent exercise of his deity in order to become a man. So then I guess he's not fully God. I guess he's not fully man. Simultaneously, I guess we're not dealing with a hypostatic union here. What do we got? We've got a Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I would submit to you respectfully that the Jehovah Witnesses would welcome.
And to be made in the fashion as a servant. Now that term servant is very important. Come with me, if you will, to John chapter 15 in one hand and Mark chapter 13. Because there is something about the status of being a servant. Mark 13 and John chapter 15. When the Lord Jesus Christ laid aside the free and independent exercise of his deity attributes in order to be made in the fashion as of man and be found as a servant. John chapter number 15, Mark chapter 13, verse 20, make it Mark 13, 32. Mark 13, 31. Jesus is talking. He's on the Mount of Olives and it's given the Olivet Discourse. Heaven and earth, Mark 13, 31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Now how is it that Jesus Christ could say, of the day and the hour of my second advent over there and my coming back, no man knows, the angels don't know, I don't even know it.
Firstly, we've moved the issue. Jesus in Mark chapter 13, verse 31, is not talking about the mystery. Isn't this message entitled, When Did Christ Learn the Mystery? Now, we're going to find out, not only does he not know the mystery, he doesn't know when he comes back for Israel. Because that is what Mark 13, 31 and 32 has to do with. Note very carefully, in verse 31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. And so Jesus here is speaking positionally as a man. But that is not who he was in his entirety. That is, there's more to Christ than the Son of Man. When he describes himself that way, there are quite a few verses where you can see only the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is a verse where you see his humanity. What Pastor Jordan is going to do is rob Christ of the presence of deity in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he's going to leave him only with the humanity. And notice, neither the Son. So it has to do with his sonship. It has to do with his humanity. It's got no problem with that. When the statement is made, however, that the Lord Jesus Christ lays aside, choosingly, he makes the choice to lay aside the independent exercise of his deity in order to become a man, I beg your pardon, that's just not so. The same Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. We know that from Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. We do know in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and we do know that Christ is the one without whom was not anything made that was made. So, Pastor Jordan here, he's just raising spurious issues that end up with a lessening of our Savior.
Only my Father which is in heaven knows it. How is it that the one who planned it, laid the schedule out back in eternity past, and worked all things according to this schedule, a minute time schedule, when he was born, in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son, right on the time schedule, Jesus Christ steps out of heaven and becomes a man. How is it then that he who is God could say, I don't know the time of my coming, only the Father knows it?
How is it that God Jehovah back in the garden could say, Adam, where art thou? Had God Jehovah gotten lost? Had his GPS system gone down? When you're reading language that has to do with the presentation of deity as humanity, when you're seeing Christ and his humanity, it's not at the expense of his deity. It's in concert with his being fully God and fully man.
He gave up. He laid aside the free, independent exercise of his attributes as God, of omniscience, of knowing all things, and laid aside that independent exercise of what he knew, and chose to know only what the Father told him.
How is it then that the Lord Jesus Christ is reading people's minds when he is on earth? How is it then that Jesus Christ is forgiving people's sins while he is on earth? How is it then that Jesus refers to himself as the I Am in John chapter 8 verse 58? How is it then that Jesus Christ is the one who is the first and the last? How is it then that the Lord Jesus Christ can do the things which he does do in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that without exercising deity? So what you've got put in place here, it's mind-numbing. It is so deleterious to orthodox and clear understanding. I'm supposing this may be a reflection of Pastor Jordan's Methodist upbringing. This may be, and I say this advisedly, this may be a reflection of the mentality that comes from Bible conference after Bible conference, whereby each Bible conference has to be as the Athenians in Acts chapter 17 to add some new thing. And, oh, we have to, you know, if the Pentecostal jumps a pew one week, he has to jump two pews the next week. And the next week he has to do an Evel Knievel and jump the piano. I'm wondering if in the grace movement you don't have a mentality that says, well, there's a pretty good message there. We got to up the ante. And so I'm trying to figure out the motive. I can't for the life of me understand why we're here. This is just wrong.
Now, that's a choice that he made, but he made that choice. Come with me to John chapter 15. By the way, Mark presents the Lord Jesus Christ as what? Matthew presents him as king. Luke presents him as the man. John presents him as God. Mark presents him as what? The servant.
Now, those four faces of the cherub and those four teachings of dealing with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I'm telling you, that's fresh right out of the Methodist seminary. That is not good Bible teaching at all, and I'm certain that you already know that.
Right. John 15. By the way, that's only recorded in Mark. In Matthew, it doesn't say neither the Son. It's only in Mark that's recorded, because in Mark, he's presented as the servant. John 15:15 explains that. Henceforth, I call you not servants, talking to the apostles, for the servant knoweth not what his master doeth.
The servant doesn't. And in his positional truth, as he is operating as the servant, and yet that does not define the Lord Jesus Christ. He is, in every page of the Bible, much more than the servant. And to have him, in about 200 pages of your Bible, lay aside all of his deity attributes as if it would stop raining and he took off his raincoat is just wrong. It is the mental machinations of liberalism. It is a diminution of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ.
But I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Notice the characteristic of a servant. A servant does not know all the things that his master does.
Is 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, no longer in Pastor Jordan's Bible? Maybe since it is a verse so attacked by those who are not King James Bible believers, we have forgotten that the three are one. The three are one. And so when you separate one of the three to this degree, you've created an aberration. You've created a monstrosity.
A servant has limited knowledge. A servant only knows what his master tells him.
Then I guess Christ is not the Alpha and the Omega in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I guess he's not the first and the last. I guess he's not the author and the finisher. I guess he's not the just and the justifier. Who have we got there?
He doesn't know everything. Here's God the Son. Has all the infinite knowledge of God. Knows everything God the Father knows. God the Holy Spirit knows. Knows everything they've planned. But in order to be your Savior, in order for that Word, that expression of God to become flesh, He made a choice. He made himself of no reputation. I'll not use my personal attributes.
Now, that is said as if the Lord Jesus Christ made that as a statement, that you could find that in the Bible somewhere, and of course you cannot. Here is a Bible verse. It pleased the Father that in him, that would be Christ, in him should all fullness dwell. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 declares Christ to be the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
And he took upon him, willingly chose to become a servant, and one of the characteristics of a servant is he does not know everything there is to know about the master's plan. He's going to live in total dependence on what the master tells him.
I beg your pardon. Jesus Christ living in total dependence on what God the Father tells him. That's where you are being asked to go with this message taught by a man who many people think is one of the leaders of the Mid-Acts dispensational movement.
Isn't that what the rest of that verse said? The end of the verse, for all things that I have heard of my Father. Where did Jesus get the things from? He lived, listen to me now, Jesus Christ chose willingly, purposely, to live as the man Christ Jesus in absolute, complete, total dependence on what his Father told him.
Now that verse did not say that. Jesus Christ chose willingly, purposely, to live as the man Christ Jesus in absolute, complete, total dependence. Then Colossians 1:19 must be wrong. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 must be wrong. Jesus Christ was not the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
On the will, the word of the Father to him.
Are not the three one? You see where we are here? We're moving into a separation where we're going to end up with at least two gods, if not three.
He made the choice not to live on what he knew. Independently, laid that aside.
Baloney. He did not lay aside what he knew, and you have proof positive of that in the fourth chapter of the book of Luke. In the fourth chapter of the book of Luke, Jesus, as he is teaching from Isaiah, closed the book. He closed the book at a most interesting point. He closed the book to avoid the verse portion from Isaiah that dealt with Daniel's 70th week in the Great Tribulation. Obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ knew exactly what was going to happen. Obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ was not being taken aback by any of this. And so, when he said to them in verse 21 of Luke 4, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears," when Jesus Christ closed the book, he left out the portion dealing with Daniel's 70th week. There would be a time separation. There would be a time when Daniel's prophetic utterances would be in abeyance. Christ obviously knows that in Luke chapter 4.
Now, when I say that, you know, I keep repeating that because you get into the awe and the wonder of who he is. I can't explain that to you. In church history, there have been all kinds of heresies, the Nestorians and the Sabians and so forth, where they struggle with trying to, you know, the two natures of Christ and all. And I can't work all that out for you. I can just tell you what the verses say. That in order to become your Redeemer, the Word became flesh. In flesh, God steps out of human history. Don't give me this business about, oh, I need God to do something for me today. I need him to heal Aunt Gertrude's toenail. Or I need him to fix the flat tire on my car. I need him to pay some bills. I need him to do this or that in order to prove he loves me. God himself has entered into human history in a way that you can't even imagine. You would have never thought to ask him. He stepped out of heaven into the events of human history by taking upon himself your humanity and fleshing himself in your limitations. Sin apart, but the likeness of sinful flesh with your limitations. And laid aside all of the riches that he had as God.
If he's got my limitations, and if he set aside all the riches that he had as God, then you'd better put somebody else on Calvary's cross.
He didn't quit being God. He just wasn't going to exercise those deity attributes on his own. He was going to put himself in complete, total dependence on the other members of the Godhead.
He didn't quit being God, and then he goes on to say things that evidence that apparently he had none of the attributes of God. He laid aside the independent exercise, and you see how wrong this is. We're, by the way, think of the venue. We are at a family conference. There's 10-year-olds listening to this. I hope they were maybe writing in their coloring books.
On God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And when he lived, come with me to John chapter 5. When he lived his life day by day, he lived that life in absolute, complete, total dependence on the Word of his Father, on the truth that he received from his Father. John 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise.
Now, wouldn't that actually be the reverse of what Pastor Jordan is attempting to teach? The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. The Father, did he quit being God too? If the Son can't lay aside all of his deity attributes, then if the Father can't, the Son can't. You see, we're just into something here that is, it's outer space. It's beyond the pale. It's over the rainbow with Dorothy and Toto. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. You know, the answer to that is so obvious. Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So don't rob him of his deity attributes. Let him be who he is. And when he acts out as a man, he is still fully God. And when he acts out fully God, he's still fully man.
Notice that the Lord Jesus Christ, in his life, is the man, Christ Jesus. He didn't live in his identity as the one with all of the creative attributes of the universe. Rather, he lived in perfect humanity. He demonstrated what it is to live as God incarnate in human flesh. He lived in exactly the way God intends every man to live. He lived in total dependence on the will and the word of his Father. And he said, without what the Father tells me, I can do nothing.
Really? Find me where Jesus Christ said, without what the Father tells me, I can do nothing. Here again you have Pastor Jordan adding words to Scripture. Lewis Sperry Schaefer, in his 5-volume, some of you have the 3-volume, systematic theology, makes the statement that from Mary's womb, had the need been present, Christ could have called worlds into existence from Mary's womb, in that Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me.
And the three are one. When the statement was put in his mouth, without what the Father tells me, I can do nothing, is different from what the Bible says in John chapter 5 in verse 30. When you read John chapter 5 and verse 30, which no doubt you will do, I can of my own self do nothing, colon, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father. You see, the position of Father, the position of Son, the position of Spirit. But when you just hone in on, I can't do anything, you miss the fact, and as a matter of fact, I think Pastor Jordan really is shooting himself in his theological foot here again, because actually the verses in John chapter 5 demonstrate that Jesus Christ could do anything that the Father could. And that's what I believe, although Pastor Jordan really doesn't want us to think that way. He wants a Jesus. Why? what's the point of having a Christ who lives in total dependence and lays aside all of his deity attributes?
Come over to chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." I'm telling you what the Father told me to tell you. Come over to chapter 8, verse 26.
Now, would not that be a deity verse? "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." Would not that demonstrate that the Lord Jesus Christ is acting out deity on earth in humanity, fully God, fully man? But of course, that's not where this message wants us to go.
"I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then Jesus said unto them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things." You see, what the Lord Jesus Christ does in his earthly life is he walks by faith in what the Father taught him about who he was and about what he was going to do. Come back to chapter 5. I skipped the verse there that we should pick up. Verse number 20, 5:20. "For the Father loveth the Son and shows him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel." Notice that the Father communicates to the Son his plan and purpose.
That's because the three are one. That's because the three were there before the foundation of the earth, as Pastor Jordan said about 20 minutes ago, that the conference that they had back there, the council that they had back there, Father, Son, Spirit, all involved. When you separate the three aspects of the Godhead the way Pastor Jordan is doing, you're going to, without fail, end up in a liberalized theology with the diminution of the deity of Christ. And the other side of that coin, by the way, and we're already beginning to see this among some grace believers, is the elevation of humanity into near deity status. This is heresy. It's blasphemy. Pastor Jordan, I can't for the life of me think why he would put this on the table. Do remember, all I have ever done is respond to what Pastor Jordan put on the table.
Hold your hand and come with me to Matthew chapter 11. And you see this all through the earthly life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 25. Matthew 11, 25. "At that time," and that's going to be the time of their rejection of him, "Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes," little dependent ones. "Even so, Father, for it seemeth good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me," where? "Of my Father."
That's because the three are one. That's because Jesus Christ is not the Father, and yet Jesus Christ is God. The Father is God. Jesus Christ is not the Holy Ghost, and yet the Holy Ghost, while not Christ, is God. The three are one. They don't do things that would be at the expense of one another's godhood, or you end up with a personage who fails the test of paying for our sins.